morning. Today's daf and kedushin is Ayin Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zeichon Shmas Libegavel Bar Shmuel. We're in Ayin Hey. We're towards the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, in the very bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and we're discussing today. We'll start the discussion today regarding a kusi. Okay. Tanya, three lines from the very bottom. Tanya v'chin Rabbi Lazar Omer kusi lo yisa kusis. A kusi may not marry kusis. Okay. Review of what we already know. We've seen this already. Number of times. So in the middle of Bais Rishon, so the king of the king of Yehuda at the time was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and the world domination was done by Sancheriv Melech Asher, the Assyrians, and the king of the Assyrians was Sancheriv. This is about 150 years before Churban Bais Rishon, before the destruction of the first temple. So Sancheriv had a campaign, and he first came down onto the northern kingdom, and he decimated the northern kingdom, totally defeated them, and then he displaced them. He took the entire northern kingdom, all 10 Shvatim of the northern kingdom, and he moved them. He moved them throughout the world. And then he replaced them with other nationalities. And this strategy of his, of displacement of people, was basically to help his world domination. Meaning, if you no longer are native to your country, so you're not going to have a rebellion because it's not your country. And that was a move that he did. He took people from a place called Kusa, and he moved them into the northern kingdom, into Eretz Yisrael. Hence, from that point forward, they were called Kusim. Because that was the location they were from. As they were living in Eretz Yisrael, so they were Ovid Avodah Zarah, because that's what they've been doing their whole lives. That's all they knew. And the Navi describes how Malachim came, how Arayos came, and how lions came, and started attacking them while they lived in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael has very little tolerance for Avodah Zarah, and so they were attacked by the lions. At that point in time, they were informed, they were told, you know, you're being attacked by the lions because you're being Ovid Avodah Zarah. So what you should consider doing is giving up the Avodah Zarah. So they convert. And the question has been an age-old question, although the Gemara in the beginning of Chulin resolves that by the time the Amoraim came around, the conversion was deemed no good. But the age-old question was, are they Geri Emes or are they Geri Arayas? Was it a good conversion? Or was it a bad conversion? Good conversion, meaning that they were sincere, even though, yes, they got a little bit of incentive from being eaten by the lions. That's certainly a good incentive. But truth be told is that they really wanted to convert. That's Geri Emes. On the other hand, no, Geri Arayos. Now, the only reason why they converted was because of the lions, and they really had no internal motivation to convert. And so really the conversion was no good. And this issue of whether the conversion was good or not turns into a Machlokas Tanayim, which we see time and again throughout Chas. And today is going to be one of those days which we're going to see it again. In the meantime, we're learning all this in the context of a kusi is not allowed to marry a kusis. If you are a male kusi, you cannot marry a female kusis. And again, if you subscribe to this viewpoint of Rav Lazar, so then who can you marry? So again, one of those questions which I'm not really sure I know the answer to. It is an academic point because we don't have kusim around anymore. So, I mean, I understand there's a group called Shomronim who I think claim that they are from the Kusim, but okay. But in other words, for you know, everyone's going to be listening to me right now and hearing my voice. It's not going to be an issue. But the sheet of Rav Elazar is that Kusi cannot marry Kusis and my Taima. And so the Gemara is going to ask really a simple question: why should that be? What is the reason behind that? And so the Gemara begins its discussion. I'm Rav Yosef Asu Kegir La'acher Asara Doro. So the Gemara says, okay, so this is now our first suggestion. We're going to really struggle with this question of why Kusi cannot marry Kusis according to Rabbi Elazar. So get comfortable, as the Gemara is going to give a number of attempts to try to answer this question. So this is the first attempt, and that is that they're considered a really old converted family. A converted family of over 10 generations. The Tanya Ger out of Sarah Doros, Mutab Mamzeris, Mikan Be'elachas Ben Mamzeris. According to the Tanakhama, you have a family of converts. For 10 generations, they can marry a Mamzeris. Right? Just a couple of days ago, we learned that the halacha falls like Shitas Rav Yossi, which is that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. A ger is not considered part of kahal, according to Rav Yossi, and therefore allowed to marry a mamzeres. The child of the gerim is also allowed to marry a mamzeres because they too are not included in kahal. Once you're not in kahal, you will continuously not be in kahal. So therefore, their children, their grandchildren can marry a mamzer, v'chule v'chule. So is there going to be a cutoff point? So theoretically, no. There shouldn't be a cutoff point. Meaning, regardless of how many generations they are from their ancestors, if they're descendants of converts, they're allowed to marry mamzeres. However, The Tanakhama of this Brisa says that after 10 generations, that's the cutoff point. They're not allowed to marry a Mamzeris anymore. The reason why?
So who can they marry?
Who can they marry? They'll marry they'll marry Jews. They just can't. They can't marry a Mamzeris.
So and the to improve their lineage.
No. I'm explaining. So the reason why is because after 10 generations, people have forgotten that they are converts. And basically now, what it looks like, the perception is that you have a full-fledged Jew marrying a Mamzeres. So this is basically what we would classically know as Marasayan. It just simply does not look right. Even though halachically it's fine, it's perfectly legitimate for an 11th and a 12th and a 13th generation convert to marry a Mamzeres, in this case a Mamzeres, but just it doesn't look right. It's a mar sign. So therefore, the Tanakhama is of the opinion that the cutoff point is after 10 generations. V'yesh omrim, yeah. Or the according to the second opinion, basically ashishtaka, until people forget that they were in fact gerim. Okay, in other words, no one has any recognition, has any memory that they come from a family of gerim. Now, this is what the Gemara now is suggesting, the reason why a Kusi can't marry a Kusis. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand what you're saying. Abaye says, look, in that halacha of the Tanakhama and the Yesh Omrim, in terms of when exactly a ger is no longer allowed to marry a mamzer or mamzeres, I understand that. Because, look, it's been many generations since his family converted, and we've forgotten that they're converts, and therefore they're perceived as just regular Jews, and they're marrying a mamzeres, and you're not allowed to do that, and everyone knows that that's a mamzeres. It's the Gemara here refers to it as mamzeres chadasha, brand new mamzeres. Meaning, everybody knows that that's a mamzeres. So you see what's happening, and it creates a misperception that a Jew is marrying a mamzeres. But over here, Amri Bar Yisrael, who dekanasi mamzeres. But hacha, idivideka dadininu. But when I have a kusi and I have a kusis, they're both old generation. They're both basically on the same playing field, so I don't understand why I should use that model to explain why Kusi is not allowed to marry Kusi. So the Gemara says, okay, let's move on. Eloki Asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Elazar, Savar Laka Rabbi Yishmal, Rabbi Yishmal, Savar Laka Rabbi Akiva. So this is now going to be our second attempt at explaining the question of why Kusi can't marry Kusis, but in order to arrive at that, we need Rabbi Elazar to subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmal, and we need Rabbi Yishmal to subscribe to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So in the second model of why a Kusi can't marry a Kusis, there are a lot of moving parts. And like any complex machine, so all I need is just one of the moving parts to break, and it's the whole thing's going to break. And that's exactly what's about to happen. But first, let's get familiar with the moving parts. And that is the following. Rabbi Elazar sever like Rabbi Yishmal. So first step. Step number one is that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yishmal, which is Damar Kusim Gei Rabbi Hussein. First of all, a Kusi, when they converted, was it a good conversion or a forced conversion? So we're going to subscribe like the opinion of Rabbi Yishmal, which is that it's a forced conversion. Now, it's a forced conversion, which means that status-wise, they are Goyim. They're not Jews. Furthermore, Rabbi Yishmal subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if I have a non-Jew or an Eved Kanani who has relations with a Bas Yisrael, the resulting child is going to be a Mamzer. And so basically what I have now, when I have the Kusi and I have the Kusis, is I have serious questions about whether or not they in fact may be Mamzerim. Meaning, because what probably happened was is that the Kusi, when Sancheriv Melech Asher brought them in to the northern kingdom, so again, the conversion was not good, so they're always considered to be not Jewish. They probably ended up marrying some Jews over there, although I understand that if Sancheriv did a successful job displacing all the Jews from the northern kingdom, there were no Jews to marry. But let's just assume right now, for the purpose of this argument, that there were some Jews that were there. And so now I have a Kusi and a Jew getting married. Now we are subscribing, again, it's two steps over here. Number one, like Rabbi Yishmal, that they are still non-Jews. And we're subscribing like Rabbi Akiva, that if a non-Jew were to marry a Jew, non-Jewish male were to marry a Jewish female, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Why? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, any prohibited union is going to create mamzerim, and this Rashi says is a lav, although that part's a little okay. Let's just say it like Rashi. Let's say it simply like Rashi. That's a law for a non-Jew to marry a Jew, and the resulting child therefore is going to be a mamzer. This is, and basically what I have now in these descendants of Kusim is I have basically possible mamzerim. You don't know, and that's why Kusi can't marry Kusis. Because on his side, he may be a possible mamzer. On her side, she may be a possible mamzeres. It's suffik together with suffik. Remember, we learned earlier that according to Rav Elazar, suffik can't marry a suffik. That is it. Now, all this only works if Rav Elazar subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara basically is going to pick this apart. First of all, does Rabbi Shmuel hold like Rabbi Akiva? Vamar Rav Yochanan. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yochanan teaches us in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Minayin lo vekocham ve'evesh ba'al kohenes ve'alaviyah ve'abas Yisrael shepasluha. How do I know that if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, regardless of whether she's from the tribes of Kohen Levi or Yisrael, but if a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, disqualifies her from kahuna, shenamar, ubas kohen, kisiyah, almanu, grusha, vizera, ein la. The Torah describes in last week's parsha that if 2 weeks ago already, okay, the Torah describes, it's parsha Tamar. So the Torah describes that a bas kohen, if she either becomes a widow or a divorcee, so she's allowed to return to her father's house. Mishi yesh lo amanos vegerishin, specifically someone who is a widow or someone who has a divorce, meaning she was married with kedushin. However, when it comes to a non-Jew, she can't be a widow from a non-Jew because she can't be married to a non-Jew. She can't be a divorcee from a non-Jew because she can't be married to a non-Jew. So there's no institution of being a widow. There's no institution of being a divorcee, which means then that what the Torah is telling us is that once she has relations with a non-Jew, that's it. She becomes pasul. She will become permanently disqualified from eating truma. Now, that is the drasha of Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, now consider, think this through. Can Rabbi Shmuel really subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva? Because what did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva said that if a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man, the resulting child is a mamzer. Now I'll make the argument outside, and then we'll just read inside of the Gemara. But basically, the argument the Gemara is about to make is as follows: if this kind of union is so prohibited, the child is going to be a mamzer, you don't think she's going to be disqualified from eating truma for having that kind of relationship? Of course she would be. So in other words, for Rabbi Shmuel to have a separate drasha to teach us that a Jewish woman who has relations with a non-Jewish man is disqualified from truma, so it can't hold like Rabbi Akiva, because if he held like Rabbi Akiva, of course she wouldn't be allowed to eat truma. This union is so prohibited, it would create a mamzer. So it must be that Rabbi Shmuel does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. This is the Gemara's argument. Let's see it inside. Hashta mamzer havi mifso bibiaso. I'm sorry, hashta mamzer havi mifso bibiaso mi baye. Gemara says it very succinctly. That if this union is ready to produce a mamzer, you don't think she's going to be disqualified from truma? Of course she would be. So so Rabbi Shmuel does not subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. So the entire construct of the argument was Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel in turn holds like Rabbi Akiva. But now we just pointed out that Rabbi Shmuel does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. So now we're going to try now to save this pshat. Ela Rabbi Lazar savor like Rabbi Shmuel, da amar kusim geir arayos, v'savor like Rabbi Akiva, da amar ovei kocham ve'evet abba bas yisrael avad mamzer. So here what we'll do is we'll do the following. We'll have Rabbi Lazar holding like Rabbi Shmuel, and we'll have Rabbi Lazar holding like Rabbi Akiva. So basically now Rabbi Lazar will be our point man, and he'll hold like both shitas. Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, that the kusim were geir arayos, and we'll have Rabbi Elazar holding like Rabbi Akiva, that if a lav were to get together, a man and woman who are prohibited by a lav, in this case a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara says, okay, but that also is an assumption, and the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge that as well. But is that right that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva? It's not right. Even though Beishamai and Beisila disagree regarding Tsaros, regarding the co-wives. Remember, this is the first discussion, not the first, but one of the first discussions we had in Masechta Yevamos, and that is, how do we treat the co-wife of an Erva? So the halacha is, we should know this because it's the first mission in Yevamos. The co-wife of an erva is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. The erva herself is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum, and the co-wife of an erva is also exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, tzaras erva. This actually is a machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel's position is the one we just laid out, and Beis Shammai says no. The co-wife of an erva is obligated in the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, that is a major disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the ramifications of that disagreement is that if you're Beis Shammai and you're looking at what Beis Hillel is doing, that's perfectly incorrect. And if you're Beis Hillel and you see what Beis Shammai is doing in the world of Yibum, that is totally incorrect. Now, how incorrect are we talking about? So let's consider for just a moment. Let's say you are Beis Shammai. Watch what happens now if your shita is Beis Shammai, and you're looking now how Beis Hillel practices halacha. So now you have, her husband died. She now is a candidate for Yibum, but it happens to be that she has a co-wife, and one of the co-wives that she has is an erva. Okay, so now, you're Beis Shammai, and you're watching now Beis Hillel practice Judaism. Now, she has a co-wife who is an erva. Now, the co-wife who is an erva herself, of course, is going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. She, now, what is she going to do? She's also going to go free. Because according to Beis Hillel, Saras Erva is exempt from the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, if you're Beis Shammai, so you're yelling and screaming. No, what are you talking about exempt? She's not exempt. She has a mitzvah of Yibum. And she has a Zika. And now what is she doing? She's going and marrying somebody else. That's what's called Yevam Lashuk. Now, Yevam Lashuk is a lav in the Torah. Okay. Oh, wait. Not a lav. According to Rabbi Kiva. As the Gemara is about to point out, Beis Shammai doesn't agree with that. Okay? So the resulting child is... I'm sorry. So from Beis Shammai's perspective, for what Beis Hillel is practicing now, she's a lav. Marrying another man. And not marrying her Yavam. Okay. That's the direction from Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel. Let's now invert the camera. Let's have the camera go in the other direction. Let's say you're from the school of Beis Hillel and you're watching Beis Shammai and practice Judaism. So how's that looking now? It's a lot worse. So what's happening now is that, again, the husband died. She has a co-wife who's an erva. Now again, the co-wife who's an erva for sure is going to go free. She does not have the mitzvah of Yibum. She has no Zika. Now, but what is the co-wife going to do? So Beis Shammai is going to tell her, oh, you know what you're going to do? You're going to marry your Yavam. Because you still have a mitzvah of Yibum. Now, if you're Beis Hillel, you're yelling and screaming a lot louder. Because essentially now what's happening is, you're having an erva. She's a sister-in-law. There's no mitzvah of Yibum. And she's marrying her brother-in-law. That is a rias. The resulting child is going to be a mamzer. So you're going to be screaming a lot louder. You're producing mamzerim. Okay, and we discussed already the Yevamos. Obviously, that presents a big problem because how do you practice Judaism when you have those two different, those two varying opinions? Okay, that was the Gemara and Yevamos and Daf Yigimel and Daf Yidalid. Okay, I said that only so that we understand what's going on in the Gemara right now, which is a good reason why I spoke it out. But in the meantime, however, for our purposes, we want one important line, and that's the following. Alpha piece, so now let's see this inside. Alpha pish nechlu beis shammai beis hillel. Bitzaros modin shein mamzer ela mimishi isuri isur erva. Venosh kares. They actually both agree that the only time the child is going to be a mamzer is when the union is arayos. So in other words, in the two scenarios that I painted, when Beis Shammai is watching Beis Hillel practice Judaism, and when Beis Hillel is watching Beis Shammai practice Judaism, so although they are totally in disagreement with one another, they do agree that the only time the child is going to be a mamzer is when it's a rayos. Meaning, so when Beis Shammai is watching what Beis Hillel is doing, child is not a mamzer. But when Beis Hillel is watching what Beis Shammai is doing, child is a mamzer. But they both agree to that basic premise that the child is a mamzer only when it's an arayos. And so now, what comes out is, Rav Elazar does not agree with Rabbi Akiva. So now, we're still at a loss. Why can a kusi not marry a kusis? Ella. Okay, so this is going to be now our next try. Ki asa Rav and Amar Rabbi Chaya Rav Amar Rav Yochanan v'Amri l'Amar Rav Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rabbi Chanina v'Amri l'Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi Amar Rav Yoshua Ben Levi Shalosh Malchokas Bedavar. So basically now what we're going to see is we're going to have three opinions on this matter. On what matter? On the following. Rabbi Yishmael Savar Kusim Gei Rav Raya saying, so we'll start with Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael will be Shita number one. And he's of the opinion that Kusim are Gei Rav Raya. Now I know we know this already, but we're setting ourselves up. So that a kusi now is a non-Jew, not a good conversion. V'kohanim shenidbuim kohanim psulim hayu. Now it also happens to be the psukim and malachim when describing the kusim described how the kohanim intermarried amongst the kusim. Okay, and yes, it means that there were some kohanim in the northern kingdom. Okay, but they were scattered all over, so it's not so hard to envision. And they are, and these kohanim who married the kusim are psulim. Shenemar vayasulahem miksosam kohane bamos. Fine. So the Amar Rava, so the pasuk of Malachim describes how the kusim got together with the kohanim, and the word miksosam, as Rashi explained over here, explains it's like coats, it's like a thorn, meaning they're rejected, they're disqualified. Or Rashi says muksa. Okay, another way of saying basically like out. These kohanim are out of the question. So, the Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan mina kotzim shebaam, they are disqualified. And as a result of that, they become they meaning the kusim becomes disqualified. Meaning, simply put, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the chachamim banned the kusim from marriage because they were just simply not Jews. Okay, that is all one shita. Now we move on. Rabbi Kiva Savar Kusim Geiri Emes Ein. So Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Kusim are actually Geiri Emes. They are good converts. V'Kohanim Shinit Mo Bahen Kohanim Kshirim Hayu. And the Kohanim that married within them are Kohanim Kshirim. Shenemar Vayesulahem Miksosam Kohanim Bamos. Now the word V'Amar Rabba Barbachanam Rav Yochanan Mina Bechirim Shebaam. The word Miksosam in this context means that they are the extreme Kohanim, but extreme here in a positive connotation, meaning they're good. So now the conversions of these kusim are good conversion. The kohanim that got together with these with the good converts are good kohanim. Okay. So now with all that stated, so then now why? Why is it that the rabbis prohibited marriage with the kusim? Meaning now what's the problem? Because the kusim, or converts, and the conversion was sincere, but in terms of reading the Torah, learning the Torah, they sometimes did a terrible job interpreting the Torah. Now, they weren't fully on board with Torah Shebaal Peh, and as a result of that, they sometimes arrived at psukim and arrived at sometimes the craziest conclusions. And here is an example where they're reading the Torah, and they're arriving at a crazy conclusion, and that's the following. I'll say their conclusion, and then we'll say how they got to that conclusion. Their conclusion was, there's only going to be a mitzvah yibum only when the husband dies from kiddushin. If the husband dies after nisuin, there's no mitzvah yibum. That's the kusim's understanding of the Torah. And again, we'll get to how they arrived at that conclusion, but that's their conclusion. Now again, let's take a look at us, the traditionalists, with the Torah Shebaal Peh, and let's take a look at how they're practicing their Judaism. Okay, it's distorted, it's corrupted, and worse than that, it's going to result in it's going to result in children that are psulim. So what's going to happen? So now you have a woman who is a widow, and she was a widow from full marriage, meaning she went through both kiddushin and nisuin. So now we're going to watch them as they tell the women, listen, you don't have a mitzvah yibum, you're good to go. What? And now she's going to go ahead and she's going to marry somebody else, and meanwhile she has a zika. She's a Yavam L'shuk, and meanwhile she has a Zika. And so that obviously presents a problem. And so as a result of that, the Chachamim said, you know what? Because they distorted the Torah to that degree, so you know what? Don't marry the Kusim. Kusim are Nala, and the Kusim shouldn't marry amongst one another as well. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And mind you, by the way, because this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, the resulting children are going to be mamzerim. Meaning, even though Yavam L'shuk is only a lav, it's not an erva, but still, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's enough to produce mamzerim. Okay. Let's all see all this inside. We're on the very top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. My Darshi, the Gemara explains, how did the Kusim arrive at that conclusion? Because the Torah says, the word hachutza, they thought, was an adjective describing the woman. She was a married woman who is an outsider. Huh? How are you a married woman who is an outsider? Oh, so they said, I know. They figured it out. Smart Kusim. They figured it out. You know what it means? It means that she's married, but only the first stage of marriage. Meaning that she was married, but she didn't actually enter into the husband's house. Oh, that's how she's a married woman who's an outsider. Then and only then is there a mitzvah of Yibum. But once she's a married woman who's an insider, meaning she's fully married, so then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. This is how they read the Torah. Obviously, they butchered it. But the this is and this created the problem now of mamzerim.
So, right.
Excellent question. Okay, go ask the kusim. Okay, no, I'm saying it's good. It's good. Yeah. Okay. Losia eishes ames achutz liyzar hach the yas vechutzu hu losia leizar avahach the lo yas vechutzu ti leizar Rabbi Kiva latame. And again, this is all shitas Rabbi Kiva. Now Rabbi Kiva is offended by the way they darshan the pasuk, but more than offended, meaning now the resulting children are going to be mamzerim. Damer yesh mamzer mechayv elavim. Okay, that is now a second explanation. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have now basically two ways of understanding why it is that the Chachamim placed a blanket ban on the Kusim from marrying in the Jewish people and marrying actually one another. Again, and then leaving the open-ended question of who are they going to marry? Okay, I don't know. But at least now we have two approaches on the matter. One, Rabbi Yishmael, who holds that the conversion to begin with was no good. Two, Rabbi Akiva, the conversion was good, but they did such a bad job butchering the psukim regarding Yibum. And Rabbi Kiva Latami that they're going to produce Mamzerim. The Yesh Omrim, this is now going to be a third possible approach. Lefisha and Bikim Bediktuke Mitzvos. You know what? They're just not careful about Mitzvos. Man Yesh Omrim. Now, who is this Yesh Omrim? Amar Avidi Bar Avin Rabbi Eliezer. He. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya we learned in the following Brisa. Matzas Kusim Muteres Va'adam Yotze Ba Yidoy Chavosa BePesach. Now, just a little bit of background over here. I know Pesach is already now a month away, a month off in the distance. But, you know, 11 months from now, get to sit down at the Seder again, God willing. And by Pesach, and by the matzah by Pesach, there are two issues. Number one, can't be chametz, which, okay. In other words, you're baking the matzah, and you have to make sure that you're baking it in a timely fashion so it doesn't turn into chametz. That's number one. Number two is that for the matzah that we eat at the Seder night, it needs an extra level of shmira. It needs to be matzah shmura. Okay, we're all familiar with this idea that it has to be matzah shmura. Now, what exactly does that mean? So, Rashi over here on our Gemara says that matzah shmura means that it has to be made l'shem matzah mitzvah. L'shem mitzvah matzah. It has to be made for the purposes of matzah, meaning there has to be a special kavana that you're making it for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Okay, so those are two requirements. Now, according to the Tanakhama of this Brisa, that we if the Kusi is making the matzah, you basically check for box number one, check for box number two. In terms of making sure it doesn't turn to chametz, they're good. In terms of making sure that they had the right kavana, they're also good. That is the shita of the Tanakhama of the Brisa. Again, I'm going to start the Brisa again inside. Detanya matzas kusi muteres. Number one, you're allowed to eat it, meaning it's not chametz. And two, adam yotze ba yedei chavasa bePesach, you can fulfill your obligation of eating matzah on the Seder night using such matzah because they have the right kavana. This is the way Rashi interprets the Gemara. This is what we're gonna stick with in terms of the balance of the daf. Rabbi Elazar Oser Lefishem Bikim B'Dikduke Mitzvos. Now Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that they're just not careful about mitzvos, and therefore the matzah is not going to be good. Now, is he arguing on point number one or point number two? That's not perfectly clear, but certainly what is clear is that they're just not careful. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer called Mitzvah Sheichzik Bakusim Harbe Medaktikim Bo Yosim Yisrael. And now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Look, it's a funny opinion, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They don't do all the mitzvos. So, like, in terms of the quantity of mitzvos that they do, but in terms of the quality, if they pick up on a mitzvah, they're super careful about the mitzvah they pick up on. So whatever mitzvah they choose to do, they do it really well. Okay, that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Now, ve'ela ha'cha my ein b'kiyim. But right now, of the three opinions, we're focusing only on the middle opinion, Rabbi Elazar, that they're not medaktik b'diktukei mitzvahs. They're just not careful about mitzvahs. Now, in this context, meaning now that we're prohibiting the kusi and the kusi is getting married, what is that based on? It's based on the following: lefi she'ein b'kiyim b'taras kedushin v'gerushin. Because, quite frankly. In other words, let's assume that their conversion was good, and let's assume that they're Jews. But quite frankly, when it comes to Kiddushin and Gerushin, they're just not that careful. Now, if you're not careful about Kiddushin and Gerushin, what does that mean? It means that, Rashi over here illustrates, I'm paraphrasing Rashi. Let's say you're a Kusi, and you do Kiddushin to a woman. And then you say to her, you know what, I didn't mean it. And she said, yeah, I know, you know what, I didn't mean it either. Let's just move on. Okay, fine, they agree to move on. Now, you can't just move on. She's a married woman. And then she takes herself and she accepts Kedusha from another man. That, of course, is nothing. She has relations with this other man. She's a married woman, having relations with another man. The resulting child is going to be a mamzer, according to everybody. And basically, if you're not careful about Kedushin and Gerushin, so the result is terrible. The children are going to be mamzerim, possibly. So, again, basically it comes down to the same thing as well, is that the kusi and the kusim are possibly results of mamzerim. So we have now three different possibilities in terms of what exactly is the problem with the kusi. And one way or another, according to the first approach of Rabbi Yishmael, they weren't even Jews. According to the second approach of Rabbi Akiva, they were Jews, and the conversion was a good conversion. It's just that they butchered the psukim regarding Yibum. And according to a third position, they're just not that careful in mitzvos, and therefore they're not so careful about kedushin, they're not so careful about gerushin, and therefore they're very possibly producing mamzer.
So the third thing imposes
they are Jews. They are Jews. Yes. It's just that they produce mamzerim. Possibly produce mamzerim. Amar of Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Mamzer Me'achos, Mamzer Me'eshesach, Nisarva Bahem. So the Gemara over here gives other explanations in terms of why the kusim are prohibited. And that is a mamzer from your sister and mamzer from married woman got mixed up together with them. Meaning, basically, they converted, but assimilated into their families were basically mamzerim. So my kamash v'lan yesh mamzer mechayve krisus nisnechada. So the Gemara says, now over here, why is he giving the example of a mamzer from the sister and the mamzer from eshesach? Meaning, why give those two specific examples? So the Gemara says very simply, ma'aseh shehaya kach haya. He wasn't giving a shita; he was just telling you a historical reality. They basically had mamzerim, and he had a Kabbalah in terms of which mamzerim actually got mixed up together with the kusim. Rava Amar Eved v'shifcha nisarva b'hem. Rava is of the opinion that an Eved v'shifcha got mixed up together with the family, meaning that even after the conversion was good, but they allowed entering into their family basically non-Jews. So the Gemara says, nisarva b'hem isur mishum mai mishum shifcha. So now the problem is that now when they have children, so that shifcha, who is a, for the purposes of marriage, not Jewish, so she's going to produce non-Jewish children. And so the Gemara says, nisnechada. So the Gemara says, well, why does it say Eved and shifcha? Maisa shayi kachaya. And again, he's not giving us a shita, he's giving us a historical reality. In that, he had a tradition that they had basically non-Jews intermingled together with them. Okay, adkan. Okay, that was one very long run-on sentence. Starting all the way from Ayin Hayam and Aleph, question of my timer, why can a kusi not marry a kusis? And basically, to summarize it and to put it as succinctly as possible, they were not careful about their genealogy, assuming they're gay re'emes, which the Gemara did have an opinion that, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not even true. But most opinions in the Gemara that we've seen up until now is that the Geri Emes, that the conversion was a good conversion. It's just that they were not careful about their Yichus, and they have mamzerim running around amongst them, and every kusi is possibly a mamzer, and every kusis is possibly a mamzer, and so basically that's why they can't marry Jews, and they can't even marry amongst one another.
No solution is offered as to what they can do.
Right. Okay.
Since they're marrying each other and diverse, so they're producing
them. Right. In other words, right, it's a funny halacha because I don't know who the audience of that halacha is.
Right.
I don't know, right. Are we talking to them? They don't seem to care. Are we talking to us? We're not marrying them anyway.
Right.
I'm unclear. Unclear who we're addressing. Hanose Isha Kohenes. You're marrying a woman who is a Kohenes. Sarich Livdok Achara Arba Imahos. So you have to do a background check before you marry a woman. Now, as we'll talk more in terms of the halacha later on. We'll probably get to it tomorrow. But anyway, you have to do a background check, and you have to check four women in her life. Now, what will become obvious as we go through this Mishnah is that the background check is only for the woman that you marry, and there does not seem to be any type of background check for the woman in terms of the man who she marries. And the Gemara is going to raise that issue. That's an obvious question. We're going to come to that when we see the Gemara. In terms of the background check that you're checking four women. Now, as we'll see in just a moment, it really is eight women, and it could be as many as 12 women, and I'm not done yet, it could be as many as 16 women. Okay. But let's start off with the simplest number, and that is, let's start off with the number four, which becomes eight. Four, which becomes eight, in other words, when you marry a woman, so you're going to check on her mother, and you're going to check on her mother's side, and you're going to check on her father's side, and basically two women on each side, and their mothers. So, the Mishnah goes on to explain. I know it's the Isha Karen Starch Livdok Achara Arba Imaho Shein Shmona. It's four women who turn into eight, and the way four turns into eight is because for every woman that you're going to check that woman and that woman's mother. So that's how four turns into eight. So Ima, the Amima. So you're going to check her mother and her maternal grandmother. Aim Avi Ima, her paternal grandmother. The Ima, the Aim Avi Aviha, the Ima, the Aim Avi Aviha, the Ima. So basically, on her mother's side, you're going to be checking her mother and her maternal grandmother. And on her father's side, you're going to be checking her paternal grandmother and great-grandmother. And each woman's mother. Okay, so those are the four women and the generation right above it. Now, Levi of Yisrael is Mosif and Leim Odechad. Now, when it comes to marrying a Levi in Yisraelis, this is counterintuitive in that you have to check another generation on top of that. Now, I say it's counterintuitive because you would think that if you're marrying a Kohen, you got to be more careful about the Yichus, and counterintuitively enough, the Mishnah tells us no. That when you marry a Levi of Yisraelis, you have to check now one more generation above that as well. Now, I can easily explain the counterintuitive nature of the Mishnah in that maybe Kohanim, just in general, just simply more careful. And because they are more careful, so the background check you need to do is not going to be as extensive. Masha Enke and Levi of Yisraelis, who are not as careful, so you need more of a background check. Okay, that's a simple explanation of the Mishnah. Ein Boken Lomen Mizbech V'Lamala. Now, if you know a Kohen and you know he served in the Beis Hamikdash, that's enough. Meaning, that's like your TSA pre-check. Meaning, if you see him having operated in the Beis Hamikdash, so that means that he was already screened, and he's right, so he's good. V'lomen aduchen olamala. Now, if you see a Levi on the duchen, I mean, that's when he's singing and he's part of the choir. So once again, he was already screened, and so therefore you don't have to do any more checking than that. V'lomen asanhedrin olamala. If a member of the family operated in the Sanhedrin, that's it. You're good. Now, if any of their ancestors were an officer or Gabit Staka, once again, so those people were screened already, and therefore you don't have to go any further back. Rabbi Yosef Amar Afmisha Yachasim Chasum Aid. Ba'arke hayishana shel Tzipori. If you signed as a witness in Tzipori, that also meant that you had already a background check and you were pre-screened and you're good. And then Rabbi Chanina ben Atikna Somer af mishaya muchtav be'asratya shel melech. If you were an officer of the army, so you are also pre-screened and you are also good.
Really?
Okay. We're gonna discuss that. The Gemara is gonna discuss that later. Okay. Maishna, the obvious question. We're talking now about a background check, and the Mishnah says that make sure that when a man marries a woman, that you got to do a background check on her mother's side and on her father's side. Four women on her mother's side, four women on her father's side, and it doesn't seem from the Mishnah like any check needs to be done from her to him. Why not? It's an obvious question. So, Maishnah b'Neshe b'Adkinu, Maishnah b'Nach b'Gavri lo b'Adkei. Neshe d'chiminsu b'han de'adah de'ba'arayuzu d'minse. So the Gemara says, listen, when women are fighting and they taunt each other and they tease each other and they say terrible things about one another, but you know what they never do? They never reveal any type of deficiency in yichus. So even though you'll hear, you may overhear the worst insults being flung from one woman to another, but they will never disclose yichus issues. And therefore, even in the worst of moments, you're never going to find out a yichus problem regarding a woman. But the Gemara says that when men fight, so the first thing they go after each other's yichus, right? Who do you think you are? Do you know who you come from? And so therefore, for men, there's no problem about having to do a background check. Basically, every man is already pre-checked. In other words, based on this sociological reality. So the Gemara says, okay, let her do a check for herself. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, and in terms of a Kohenes, why isn't she doing an examination, an investigation? But the Gemara says, but this is based on what we said earlier, a Kohenes is allowed to marry. Remember we said a couple days ago, Kohenes can marry a Ger? In other words, a Kohenes can marry a Chalal. A Kohenes is not barred, she's not prohibited from marrying those who are Psalm. Okay, Rav Adbar Ava Tani Dalima Shem Shtay Masrai, but Masisantana Dalia Moshe and Sheshasray. Okay, now in our Mishnah we said four women who become eight. Because of all the women that you check, you have to check that woman and you have to check that mother. And now in the Gemara brings down two more opinions. Rav Ada Ba'ava teaches a brisa which is that four women become 12 women, and another brisa says that four women become 16 women. Okay, it's like a geometric progression. It's like proliferation. So Bishlam the Rav Ada Ba'ava. Now according to Rav Ada Ba'ava, actually we're going to say a very simple pshat. We're now on the top of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Mokin La Bilevia Ubas Yisrael. The Gemara says fine. Meaning he's not contradicting the Mishnah. In fact, what we'll just simply do is we'll plug the brisa that he taught into the second case of our Mishnah, because we learned in the second case of the Mishnah that when a man is marrying either not a Kohenes, but rather a Levia or a Yisraelis, so you're going to be checking her mother, and these four women, and these four women's mother, and these four women's grandmother, maternal grandmother. And so that's good, meaning that gets us to the number 12. Right, that's 4 times 3, that's 12. And Ella Masnisa Nema Pligi. Now, what about that brisa that got us to the number 16? So the Gemara says, "Well, my odechad zug achas." Once again, we'll just go back to our Mishnah and we'll plug that into the Mishnah as well, because the Mishnah says that when you're doing a background check on the Levi of Israelis, you have to check the mother plus odechad. And we see this a number of times in the Gemara. When the Gemara says odechad, what the Mishnah could be meaning was, do that again, meaning checking the woman, checking her mother, so that's already two, and do that again, meaning, and go another two generations. So check this woman's mother and her mother, meaning, and the woman's mother's mother, and do that two more times, and the woman's mother's mother, and the woman's...
Great.
Right. And do that to the fourth generation. And now basically what you have is you have four women, and you're going to be going up four generations in these four women. So that gets you to 16. And that's a simple pshat in the Braisa. Am Rav Yehuda, am Rav Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Again, what the Gemara now is going to try to do is this Mishnah's requirement of doing the necessity of doing a bedika is only following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim fundamentally disagree, and they say no, that you have a family, a Jewish family, they have a chazaka, they have a presumed state of being kasher, and you don't have to do a background check. Eini, the Gemara says, now is this true? Our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where there was a challenge set forth, and that's why you have to contest the challenge, and that's why you need to do a bedika. So the Gemara says, okay, the Gemara says, even though both of these opinions were expressed in the name of Rav, they obviously cannot accord with one another. They don't agree with one another. Meaning, either you relegate our Mishnah to the opinion of Rav Meir, and that the Chachamim fundamentally disagree, and therefore our Mishnah basically, you segregate the Mishnah, and the halacha does not follow the Mishnah, and therefore no background check needed in general because everyone has a presumed state of kashrus. Or no, you bring the Mishnah back. The Mishnah is considered normative halacha, but the only time you need a background check is only when there was an error, a formal challenge to the genealogy of the family. Okay. So, man de masniha, lo masniha. Iga de amre, amre vira, amre avzu divre, rabbi meir. Vachacham amomrim, kol mishpachos, becheskas kashros, hein omdos. So the Gemara here has a slightly different version. We start off again with the opinion of Rav, which is our Mishnah is a das yachid, our Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Meir, but the Chachamim say that every family has a presumed state of kashrus. Amrav chama burguri, amrav, im korei lav ira, tzorach livdok achareha. And here in the second version, it's a separate point, which is that if there was a formal challenge, in other words, we're not saying the Pshat in the Mishnah, we're just simply saying that if there was a formal protest lodged against the pedigree of the family, so then you need to do a background check. Okay. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up regarding the remainder of the Mishnah and saying the saying pshat in the balance of the Mishnah. Okay, let's quickly wrap it up. Most of today we dedicated our topic to discussing why the Kusi is not allowed to marry the Kusis. And it was a complex Gemara because a lot of moving parts in the Gemara in terms of whether or not Kusim or Geri, Emes or Geri, Arayos, whether or not a Mamzer is produced from Chayve Lavin or Chayve Krisus. And exactly which opinions does Rebbe Lazar follow in order to arrive at the conclusion that a Kusi is not allowed to marry Kusis. So there were a lot of moving parts in that Gemara over there. Then we discuss a background check. The Mishnah tells us that there's a need when a man marries a woman that he needs to do a background check. The four women in her, the four women that produced her, and then a generation above that. And if it's a Levi and Israeli, a generation above that, and possibly even another generation above that as well. And then we discussed why a woman doesn't need to do a background check for a man. The Gemara basically says because men basically know whether or not they are good or no good. And then a discussion of whether or not our Mishnah is a Das Yachid, or our Mishnah is discussing a scenario in which there was an official protest challenge which was lodged against the family. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.